Okay, we are now rolling, and go right ahead.
All right. Thanks so much for being here, everybody. I'm Dapper, this is Panther Coon, and we're going to be talking about a movie that we love and that probably a lot of you love, Zootopia.
Yeah.
Woo!
All right.
Yeah. All right. So we got a little slideshow presentation here. Going to show a couple clips, and at the end we'll open it up to discussion. I think we have the room till 11:30.
It should be 11. I think it says there's something at 11, so
okay.
We've got to keep an eye on it.
11:30, we'll see.
Okay.
11:30 is the end of the brunch, so.
All right.
But I thought it said there's a panel here at 11. That's why I was saying.
Yeah, okay. Well, they kick us out at 11.
Okay.
But, yep, so, and you want to go to that one?
Okay. Is it showing on?
Yeah.
Okay, we are also. Go ahead then. You can keep an eye on this, and
yeah,
that'll tell you.
I did that, so
okay.
I'll go to the next one.
All right.
Yep. And just a quick spoiler alert, in case anyone here hasn't seen Zootopia. I'm assuming everyone has, but just in case, you know, we'll be talking about major plot details, so I just want to put that out there. So, all right, so what is Zootopia? So Zootopia is a 2016 computer-animated buddy cop comedy film. It's the 55th feature film produced by Walt Disney Animation Studios. The first was Snow White, 1937. Most recently, you had Frozen 2, the end of last year. I believe the next one is going to be, is it Raya and the Last Dragon, I think? Yeah. Which looks interesting.
Yeah, Zootopia came out during, before Zootopia came out, Disney has been enjoying quite the comeback with their own animated films.
They have.
Yeah.
So Zootopia, is set in a world where humans never existed, animals have evolved to human levels of intelligence and civilization. Focuses on Judy Hopps, determined bunny. She becomes the first bunny to serve on the ZPD, and she enlists the help of Nick Wilde, a con artist fox, to solve a missing mammal case. That's the super condensed version. A lot more to the movie than that, of course, but so one of the best things about Zootopia, in my opinion, is the voice cast. I think they did a great job, you know, finding actors and actresses who really embody their characters. So we start off with Jennifer Goodwin as Judy Hopps, a protagonist. She's been on a few TV shows like Ed, been in a few movies, Mona Lisa Smile, Walk the Line, things like that.
Once Upon a Time being a big one for some people.
Right. So. Jason Bateman. I love Jason Bateman. Just the perfect mix of like charm and sarcasm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is high praise indeed.
I didn't realize he was kind of like a teen idol in the 80s. He was on the Hogan Family for a long time. Of course, a lot of acclaim for Arrested Development.
That's done a lot of for sure.
Yeah. Done a lot of movies. Yep. He actually didn't do a movie last year, which
Disney's been known for looking for celebrities with good voices. Like, even as far back as, like, with Alice in Wonderland, with the big names at the time, like Jerry Colonna and Ed Wynn.
That's true.
Another great one that's on there, Game Night.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
Recently, I see that.
Idris Elba was the voice of Chief Bogo, Precinct 1, where Judy is assigned. He was on a bunch of shows, The Office. He played Charles Minor on The Office. Been a bunch of movies, too, like Pacific Rim, etc.
Wasn't he also Heimdall in the Thor movie?
I believe he was, yeah. Then we have Jenny Slate, very funny comedian, as Assistant Mayor Bellwether. Mild-mannered Assistant Mayor. She was on SNL for a season. She also played Mona Lisa Saperstein on Parks and Rec. Definitely check that out if you haven't seen it. She's really funny on that show. And she voiced Gidget in Secret Life of Pets. So she's
And number two, I think, also, that movie.
Very distinctive voice as well. Then we have J.K. Simmons as Mayor Lionheart, Mayor Zootopia. Pretty recognizable face. Has anyone seen the We Are Farmers? He's in those commercials. He was on Law & Order for a long time, then a lot of movies. I think he voiced Santa in the Netflix movie Claus, which came out last year, which was really good.
If you saw Rock Dog, he was Bodie's father.
Oh, yeah, Rock Dog.
That lost the Oscar to Toy Story 4.
He's also the
Emmy Award.
There you go, yeah.
He's also the
He's also Cave Johnson in Portal 2.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Then we had Nate Torrance was the voice of Clawhauser, the dispatcher at ZPD. He was on shows like Mr. Sunshine, movies like She's Out of My League, among others. And then, of course, we have Shakira as Gazelle. No real introduction needed there. 140 million albums sold. Of course, she performed at the Super Bowl this year. I didn't realize till I saw it like trending on Twitter afterward, but I guess the outfit she wore looked a lot like the outfit Gazelle wears in Zootopia, so that was cool. A lot of big hits. She's done a lot of great philanthropy work. So yeah, that's kind of the.
I remember hearing she like put in words to the creators on how they wanted how she wanted her character to look like.
Oh really? Oh that's cool.
Or something like that. She
I froze up.
She wanted hits.
Yeah,
there it is. Finally.
Okay. And then for the directors, we had a couple of Disney veterans, Byron Howard and Rich Moore. Pretty extensive resumes. Byron Howard co-directed Bolt, which kind of like set off the second Disney Renaissance.
I think it was The Princess and the Frog that really did that, though.
Yeah, that was a good one, too, yeah.
It did make noticeably more money than Bolt.
It did. He also co-directed Tangled. He worked on Frozen 2. Rich Moore directed a bunch of episodes of The Simpsons.
From the good old
early,
days.
Right. directed Wreck-It Ralph, co-directed the sequel. They also
those brought plushies they had in that picture.
Yeah, that was cool. And then they brought in Jared Bush as co-director. He worked on a few different things. He co-created, I believe it was a Disney XD series, Pen Zero, Part-Time Hero. Worked on Moana as well.
Yeah, that was also successful, but not as much as Zootopia.
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when they started making Zootopia, you know, they kind of asked themselves, well, they want it to be something new, you know, because there have been lots of animated animal films, especially from Disney, so they wanted to make it unique. So they decided to ask themselves, you know, what if we had a world built by animals? Because they hadn't really seen that before. So that was kind of the idea that got it going. So after he finished working on Tangled, Byron Howard wanted to direct a movie featuring anthropomorphic animals, like Robin Hood, which is one of his favorite movies, near and dear to a lot of furries, of course. But like, you know, like I said, unlike the previous animated films, you want to show animals living in a contemporary world of their own design. And the movie was announced in August 2013 at the D23 Expo. You can see some early concept art up there. Originally, Byron Howard pitched six ideas, ranging from a Three Musketeers adaptation to a 1960s set story about a mad doctor cat who turns kids into animals. Sounds very interesting.
I hope they use some of these ideas for other projects.
Yeah,
who knows?
I hope so.
Good ideas.
Good ones.
I hope
they'll
go to waste.
Disney suggests you combine the 60s settings with the animal characters. So we went back to the drawing board and create a new pitch called Savage Seas. You can see some of the concept art there. It was basically like a James Bond-esque thriller about this Arctic hare.
Yeah.
Which would have been cool. You know, the art looks cool. So. And those are a few of the other pitches. Dr. Meow, they all look cool. I mean, Pug the Bounty Hunter. I would definitely like to see that developed at some point. And as they were going along in development, Howard realized the best part of Savage Seas was the movie's first act, which was set in a city designed by and for animals. So I decided to make that the focus of the whole movie. They dropped the 60s setting, they dropped the spy aspects. Eventually it developed into a modern police procedural with Nick as the main character. That's how it started off.
There you go.
And the first draft, you had this concept with tame collars. So you had predators in Zootopia wearing tame collars, which shocked them whenever they became aggressive. A lot of the, I have a book, The Art of Zootopia, a lot of the art there, you can see the predators wearing the tame collars. Nick operated this amusement park called Wild Times. Predators could go there and have their collars temporarily removed, just like live it up for a little while. ZPD was worried that they might have their collars permanently removed, so they sent Judy to shut the park down. But eventually they, you know, the movie ended the first draft with the tame collars mandate being abolished. There's actually a whole screen test on YouTube of a scene where Nick gets his collar.
It's almost, like their version of Pleasure Island from Pinocchio.
Yep.
right.
Okay, there's a fire on the roller coaster track. Seems a bit scary.
I didn't notice that.
You know, as they were going along, the filmmakers realized that original version was too negative, and they wanted to tell a story about bias in a more nuanced way. Basically, it just created this, like, dystopian world that people couldn't really root for. It just kind of felt like a dark, negative place, and, you know, they didn't want that. They did want to... I'm trying to go to the next one.
Okay.
You know, I think this is from Byron Howard. Want to... see the characters living together happily at first, so the audience roots for the world to return to that harmony, but we also want to show how bias and prejudice can so easily divide a culture. I thought they did a good job of showing that in the movie, for sure. And in addition, they realized that, you know, to tell the story they wanted to tell, that Judy should be the main character, because if they started the movie with Nick telling it through his eyes, you know, he's already jaded, he doesn't like Zootopia, he doesn't believe any of that, you know, oh, anyone can be anything stuff. So, you know, it worked a lot better for them to start it with Judy, make her the protagonist, because she's very, you know, innocent, one could say naive, she thinks Zootopia is this great place where everybody gets along, and then she meets Nick, and, you know, they both kind of start educating each other. So, you know, that was a big change. You know, they had to, obviously... rewrite a lot of things, but it worked out a lot better. And, you know, in typical Disney fashion, did a lot of research. They went to Kenya, Disney's Animal Kingdom, San Diego Zoo. They studied animals, walking and running patterns, fur colors, wind effects, talked to a lot of experts. Based on all their research, they decided to limit the characters to mammals. But, fun fact, birds and reptiles do exist in the world of Zootopia. We just don't see them in the movie. So,
just like in Robin Hood.
Hopefully, a sequel.
That's right. Robin Hood did have some, like, you know.
They did,
yeah. Well, he disguised himself as a bird.
There was that elderly owl couple and the crocodile that worked for... Prince John with a steep candy cane.
But like Zootopia, no humans.
No. They took inspiration from nature as well when they were making Zootopia. Like this one quote from Howard about a watering hole where you have predators and prey, like temporarily kind of calling a truce because they all need water, and sort of drawing inspiration from that, you know, where you have a city with a lot of, you know, very diverse characters all living together. They also incorporate a lot of real world biological facts, like the 10-to-1 prey to predator ratio actually is a thing in nature, so I thought that was cool. So to bring the characters to life, they used a bunch of different things. They had this tool called the eye groom to comb the character's fur and give it like hair patterns and imperfections. Judy and Nick each have 2.5 million hairs. Giraffe has 9 million. Even the gerbil has almost 500,000. I think that's more than Elsa had in Frozen. Just shows how it had progressed in just like the time from Frozen to Zootopia. And they had this like imaginary layer of undercoating that allowed them to change the thickness and density. They had this real-time display software so that they could create like subtle expressions. You can see Doug. They used that software to.
Yeah, I wonder if certain people were designated for certain characters. I do Nick, I do Gideon, etc. Maybe they do.
That was a trademark. There were certain animators who assigned certain characters. Like Wolfgang Reverman, the director of Robin Hood. Like in Pinocchio, he was assigned to animate Monstro the Whale.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
We've got two clips now, and most people are not really talking. That's a good thing because you're not going to hear this too well.
So I can try doing the audio on my.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got it now, and let me know when, and I will start the characters, and hopefully that'll be good. I have no other way of amplification.
Okay. You want to start it now?
Okay, I'm starting it right now.
Every time I watch Zootopia, my eye catches new characters that I didn't see.
Is there a
Go ahead.
Okay. There might be a delay, but hopefully we can hear.
I start to think each one of these animals needed to be created to be unique and populate this amazing city.
Is this the wrong one?
It's not showing on the screen.
It's playing on your phone, I think, instead of on the...
Can you try... No, it's not on the screen, though.
Yeah.
It's not on the screen?
No.
Wow.
Maybe if you...
Try playing it on the computer that it's hooked up to, not the phone.
Well, that's what I'm trying.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Try closing PowerPoint.
Closing PowerPoint?
Yeah,
we're going to have to start that all over again?
Yeah.
Probably you can skip.
Yeah, you could probably start. I think you could start it from the where you left off.
Okay, I'm going to close it. Let's see what happens now. So,
okay.
Is it showing now?
No, it's still showing clips.
Well, there were two different PowerPoint things up there. Let me close all windows, and then this here.
So
there you go.
Okay. Oh,
hey, there you go.
I know. Back to opera. Seeing it. Oh. Now,
Mickey of Zootopia, the character.
Okay, hang on. I'll let me get it back on my phone. Then we can.
Okay. So you can, as soon as you start it, we'll start it again. Okay.
And I want to go to like 16 seconds.
Okay, so hit the play button.
Yeah, I'm just going to wait for it to sync up with yours.
And you can see it, right? Okay.
It's not long.
To that, they had to walk on two legs and wear clothes.
Okay.
Try fitting a tail through a pair of khakis. It's not easy. To talk about characters, we join character look and development supervisor Michelle Robinson, head of characters and technical animation Dave Komorowski, and technical supervisor Ernest Petty.
We have sheep, we have honey badgers, we have giraffes, we have foxes.
There's like hundreds of thousands of different characters.
And we need to make them look like there's something that's real, that's breathing, that is touchable.
That's my job.
To create the characters of Zootopia, we start out with artwork. Corey Lompkus, our character designer, provides these beautiful drawings. Then we step into the modeling phase. Our modelers will take those drawings and recreate sculptures within the computer.
And then those sculptures come to my department, and we need to go in there and paint the colors and add texture and put the fur on them.
What did you find was the main differences between animal fur and human hair?
We discovered it wasn't, you know, one additional problem moving from hair to fur. It was, you know, as many problems as we had species of animals. Every animal's hair is different in its color, in its structure, how shiny it is, how rough it is.
For example, the polar bear fur is pretty special. It's sort of transparent with a kind of a hollow core.
I was pretty surprised by that.
I think there was another challenge just in how much fur there was on these characters. The humans we've done in the past, they have a head of hair, and the hair can be really long, but there's a few hundred thousand hairs there.
So fluffy. Elsa had 400,000 hairs?
On her head, yeah.
You know, I think Nick and Judy both had over 2 million hairs on their body. And then when you get to the giraffe, it's got over 9 million hairs.
So this is an animal world. Who makes their clothes?
Well, yeah, we did have to kind of decide whether at every scale did they have tiny little factories and for the mice where they made tiny little clothes or you know, did they all shop at some general fabric store?
We're used to clothes that fit well on humans, but a nice shirt won't drape or feel right on a fox who has shoulders that are sloping down completely differently. A lot of different aspects really challenged what our normal sense of tailoring clothing and how it will work on these types of characters.
Some of the characters couldn't wear pants because their legs were so short, so they ended up only wearing shorts. But then when you cut out a little outfit for a mouse, it's going to be pretty stiff. But if you cut out a pair of pants for an elephant, it's actually going to feel like a tent because there's so much of it.
Yeah, and how do you tailor a shirt for a camel?
Or how do you put a t-shirt over a moose's head?
Challenges. How did fashion play a role in all of this?
It certainly ties into their personality, and so there are characters like the mayor with this, you know, really clean, sharp suit, as opposed to Bellwether in the beginning, where she's a little bit kind of frumpy, and eventually over time she becomes more powerful in the suits that she wears. It's a subtle color change.
And what about Nick?
Yeah, but he's like slightly off colors and loose tie, and is, you know, they kind of convey like sly slash con man.
It's called a hustle, sweetheart, and I'm not the liar. He is.
Well, I remember also with the fashion challenge, there was also a big technology challenge. I mean, if you take your big challenge in the movie, and it's saying there's fur everywhere. That impacts every department pretty much across the entire show. We had to write a new, what's called a shader, to basically make light travel through the hair in a realistic way, which is something that we never needed to focus on before and had not been able to do.
You know, the last time we had really done a movie with talking animals was Bolt.
And back in Bolt days as well, he wasn't wearing any clothing at the time.
Right.
I do recall there was a few scenes where Bolt had a collar on him.
Yeah, yeah.
That one collar caused a lot of sleepless nights and a long time just solving that one little problem. Now we fast forward to today, and we have wet furry characters running in the rain with wind.
On top of trains.
On top of trains.
Yep.
All of that we could maybe do for a single character for a special scene sometime in the past, but to do it throughout the entire movie at this sort of scope and scale is something that we could not have done even a couple years ago. What would you say is the most fun part of working on this movie?
You know, I really enjoy the process of working on the Yak. I thought he was a great character. I think he's really fun.
A lot of little details.
I love the character Clawhauser. He's my favorite character. He's a cheetah that's lost his way a little bit. He sits around and eats donuts, and, you know, I kind of relate to that.
I think the variety for me is what really made it unique. Every character was a different challenge and a different problem. When you solved one, the next one could be almost completely different. Zootopia, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
There's so many little details, but getting through it all and looking at it, it was a great experience.
That's the end of the first one. Cool. And then you've got the other one. If you can queue it up on your phone.
Yeah, queue it up.
The other one is the making of deleted characters.
Yep.
And this is about 3 minutes long, so he's going to queue that up. And while he's doing that...
Well, the tigers are the background, too.
I was going to mention another of the voice actors is Don Lake, and he was Judy Hopps' father. I don't know if you saw a movie with Matt Damon called Downsizing, about shrinking people to five... Shrinking Matt Damon and stuff to 5 inches tall. So they wind up in Leisureland, which is scaled down to their size, and they're in these little remote control cars things, and who is this guy but Don Lake? So I'm going, oh, it's like, you know, Stu Hopps is this big, but I mean, when you see the movie, look for that scene. You will see Don Lake appearing as the tourist guy.
Back at Fan Expo Boston 2018, I got to meet the voice of Mr. Big.
Oh yeah, nice. Film...
But Maurice LaMarche.
Oh, Maurice LaMarche, yeah, right.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff, like the brain on Animaniacs.
Yep.
I remember he did his Hey Arnold voices for me. Helga's father, Big Bob Attacky, and Douglas Kane, the alien reporter with the voice with the voice like Orson Welles.
We know when you're ready.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool guy.
Right, right. Half an hour to go, we still got a lot to cover.
All right.
Okay, I'm hitting the play button now.
Hang on, can you pause it for 1 second?
Okay, it's synced.
Okay.
Oh, no, now it's not.
Can you go back to 1 second?
Okay, wait a minute.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Oh, hang on.
It's at 5 seconds.
All right, hang on. Let me get my... Right. Hang on. What are you at? Hang on. Can you go back to 4?
I've got 90.
How about we go back to 0?
All right, hang on.
Go back to 0 and...
All right, here, hang on. All right, ready?
Countdown.
3, 2, 1, go. Deleted
characters, my friend.
Yes,
that's
I
right.
I love characters.
We love characters. Sometimes we love them so much we hold on to them for a long time, then we throw them out.
Good one.
And these guys, they didn't make the cut. They didn't make the cut, but don't worry. They're fine. They're just wandering about Zootopia somewhere.
There you went, you little dickens.
First ones are the Gerbil Jerks. These were two antagonists who did not like Nick Wilde very much. Nick would walk around town, and these two gerbil jerks in their little sporty red car would run over Nick's tail and make him shock himself.
Ooh.
They loved that, and they lived for that, and so it was
his jerks.
They were his nemesis. Honey, who is a honey badger. She was a doomsday prepper.
She was a friend of Nick's.
She was
right?
a friend of Nick's, and but she was very, very paranoid about sheep
That's
taking
right.
over the world. She even had an anti-sheep bunker filled with anti-sheep weapons like huge clippers. And so we tossed that whole part out. Where'd the heck she go?
However, she did stay in the movie, right? In a way?
Well, in another kind of form. The character became Dr. Madge, Honey Badger. She was the one trying to find an answer to the savage animals.
Yeah.
We cannot keep it a secret. We need to come forward.
Not so much a doomsday prepper anymore. You know, she's trying to do some good.
Yeah.
The old goat. The old goat. She had different jobs and she made different appearances.
Yeah.
At one point, it was just a screaming old goat.
Yeah. Sometimes she would faint.
She would faint. She was a fainting old goat. But then she came back as a fellow meter maid.
Hey there, rookie. Keep it up, but in 50 years, you'll be promoted to this job.
Mayor Swinton. Swinton was our villain in the earlier version of the story, and we did that because pigs are very intelligent animals, and we thought that'd be very interesting to make an intelligent pig the villain in the movie.
Both smart and tasty.
Yes.
Still a pig.
The Razorbacks. The Razorbacks were a cool elite police force that the police brought in when things got really hairy with predators. Harry, see what I did?
Sniffers.
But they're tough guys. They had special weapons, they had tough haircuts, and they could kind of snip out, you know, predators. And,
They're really, really
they're
tough.
Pretty
dudes.
Cool.
Don't mess with them.
Wooly. There was a sheep in the movie called Wooly who was doing all sorts of nefarious stuff. And if you've seen the final film, you know that sheep continue to do nefarious stuff in Zootopia. But this time he was hiding his identity with a corset. And he would tie himself up and he would make himself very skinny and wrap himself in an overcoat and put on a wolf disguise. So he was a sheep in wolf's clothing.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's better wolf than Wooly.
So clever.
Yes, very funny.
And they did the opposite of that at the end of the movie with
at the end of it?
Yeah,
okay, good.
Gearing up to go on their final.
They have the disguise and everything.
Yeah, all right, we got the disguise.
Okay, we're going to go back to the.
Bear with us while we get the PowerPoint.
That's an old
let me click on this again and see if we can get back to where we were.
Okay, so
we got to go scroll down to. Halfway through or something?
Yeah, let me.
That's 17.
It was like 28 is where we'll pick it up.
28, okay.
It'll look obvious. It was barely. It is at 27.
And now from current. Click from current slide.
Okay, from current. Okay. Now. Okay, it's back. Go ahead. We have the clips. So we advance now. We shouldn't totally speed it up, but just be aware of it. Okay, time's away.
So we talked about the characters. So to create the actual city as Zootopia, the filmmakers want to design a world where animals ranging from like a mouse to a giraffe could coexist. So you have the burrows based on climate, you have the trains with multiple sliding doors, you have the smaller doors within larger doors, all these clever things that they thought of, talked to a lot of experts. They drew inspiration from a lot of different cities around the world. Then they also made sure to include ancient and modern architecture to make it feel like an actual city,
like
which I
here.
Was cool.
Yeah.
That's just a map of Zootopia.
Yeah, the docks.
A couple of those places, you know, were cut out of the final movie, so we don't see Wild
Times,
we don't see the docks, we don't see the canals. I think Animalia is where they have the concert at the end, the gazelle concert. But maybe we'll visit those places if we get a sequel.
Maybe Animal Olympics will be
part
of it. There you go. One of the fun things to see in the movie is
paw prints on the wallpaper.
All the, you know, different, like, animal-inspired patterns and shapes and things. So you have the paw patterns on the wallpaper in Judy's apartment. The crosswalks look like zebra stripes.
Yeah,
the little paw button on Judy's ticket machine.
Yeah.
There's lots of others, too, but it's fun to...
Definitely gonna have to rewatch it to look for all those little details.
Yeah. So of course, Zootopia, big hit at the box office. Number one for 3 weeks. Had great word of mouth and buzz. Eventually ranked number 7 at the 2016 box office. I believe it's now the third highest grossing Disney movie. Grossed over $1 billion worldwide. It was that movie that was both a big hit with critics and audiences and also a big commercial hit. So, you know, that was.
I actually heard that certain theaters were going to show it on March 3rd, and I saw Danvers had it. So I saw it then. The ironic thing is, at the time, around the corner from it in the mall was the Registry of Motor Vehicles.
That's right. That's right.
It's now moved to a different part of Danvers, but there's where your slots are, okay? All right.
So, like I said, got a very very glowing critical reception, 97% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. A from CinemaScore, won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature Film. So, yeah, it's a big hit with everybody, really. Those were just a few quotes from some critics. I like, there was one here that I liked. Yeah, Jen Chaney said, "The best animated film of the year, as well as one that conveys a message rarely heard in movies for children, getting exactly what you hoped for isn't the end of the journey," which I liked
like
because...
Line.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, I like that because, you know, like Judy, her dream from the time she's a kid is to be a cop, and she gets it, but it's only the start for her, you know, as soon as she gets to Zootopia, you know, she has to sort of reassess everything, and, you know, so I thought that was... No, on target. So we're still waiting to hear if we're going to get sequels to Zootopia. I remember when I did this panel a year ago, Tommy Lister had just told reporters that Disney was going to make two sequels. It was going to be a trilogy. And since then, I've seen a couple of random like news articles, but they don't really quote any sources. It just says like some cast supposedly returning, you know, for sequels. And you know, Disney still hasn't said anything.
Didn't Rich Moore take a job with Sony?
Did he?
I think so. So things may be a little different there.
No, there are still, if you look at the schedule, there are still Disney movies slated for like the next three Thanksgivings that haven't been like announced. So it could be one of those. We'll see. But so now, of course, we're at a furry convention, so we'll talk about Zootopia and the fandom. So, of course, being a movie, you know, about anthropomorphic animals, Zootopia generated a lot of interest and excitement in the fandom when it was first announced. You had that first teaser trailer in summer of 2015, which defined anthropomorphic. Anybody remember what the pun was at the end of that?
I do. Like nothing you've seen?
Be fur.
Be fur.
There you go.
Yep. So, you know, furries got very, very excited.
And, of course, there's Nick being naked and then realizing he's naked and clothes being put on him.
Right. That was a picture from a Zootopia watching fursuit meet. I think a lot of groups did that. Then there was this BuzzFeed article that came out 2 days before Zootopia premiered. Basically, the SeattleMeetup.com group got an email from this marketing agency hired by Disney asking them to share photos of themselves on social media using a couple of hashtags. Both Disney and the marketing agency had no comments, so it could have just been like one rogue employee at this marketing agency who like stumbled on this group and said, "Oh, they should help us promote the movie." But yeah, that was kind of funny. But it's definitely resonated with a lot of furries. You know, I collected a few quotes here. Anthrocoon has one up there. Augie Wolf said, "The first time I've ever seen furries en masse go see a movie. It's a huge impact. Furries are acknowledging it by attending it." I like the one down in the corner where the person's talking about, you know, that was the reason they, you know, finally, like, joined the fandom was seeing Zootopia, you know, which I thought was great, and it's kind of true for myself.
Good
as
writing,
well.
Great comedy, memorable moments.
Yep. And there's a lot of great Zootopia-inspired personas and fursuiters.
You will see in the fursuit walk today, there should be Nick, Judy, or different people, or whatever.
Yep. These are a couple of Nick and Judy.
Some of those fursuits look a lot better than the official theme park
costumes.
they do.
That's the truth about like Disney fan-made costumes and fursuits. They often look better than the official costumes. Like big bad wolf fursuit you've seen.
Yeah. We collected a bunch of cool Zootopia art. I don't know.
The Furry Road album cover.
Yep.
And You Never Give Me Your Honey. Like, I Want You, EWE. Oh, Whoa, Darling. I mean, there's tons of puns. And there's Gideon Gray. There's some really nice ones there. That's like Rich Moore, almost like the style. One of the. Yeah.
I like
that's
that
in the style of Hanna-Barbera.
If
you remember Fibber Fox. Oh, for heaven's sake!
That's my YouTube poop. Disney buys out Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah. I like that one.
That's on my desktop and my laptop, that cover.
Yeah. But there's so much great Zootopia art out there.
And that's my driver's license, which I just had to renew in real life also, actually, ironically enough.
I like that one of Nick, too. That's cool. So last year, my co-host was Tokolinoshoba. He couldn't make it this year.
But he will be here later on.
He is at the convention, I believe. He just wasn't able to make it to the panel. But he's an amazing Nick Wilde.
Yeah, I remember when we were in Cambridge, he was there with a jumbo
pop.
And I got a picture of him.
Yeah, he's also gone to Fan Expo Boston as well.
Yeah, yeah, and he makes all these props himself. Yep. I believe he's worked for Hasbro.
Oh, yeah, there's the story.
Yeah.
He told a funny story last year about how right when that picture was taken of him with the jumbo pop, it, like, collided with that sign.
Nobody caught that just as it was happening.
Yeah, yeah, it was perfect timing. But, yeah, he's done a lot of cool, you know.
The Infinity Pond.
Yeah, and
Rocket
actually,
Raccoon.
At Perpocalypse, he was Nick Wilde cosplaying as Rocket. Which was awesome. You know, he made the gun and everything. So that was really cool. And then...
Oh, no!
Yeah, he said that clip of him falling down at a furball.
Yeah.
It was either New Hampshire or Rhode Island. And he got a picture with James Mulligan.
Yeah, that's a Fan Expo Boston. Oh, there's
this one was the one that
some art from
Big Bad Wolf did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and unlike the real life Zootopia read along, which is on CD, that version would have try everything play after the story, like on the actual older Disney read alongs.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Vinyl
and
cassette.
Cassette
version.
And then I like this one. So if you were born
VHS
after like
tape,
1998 or so, you might have no idea what that is.
Yeah, clamshell cases.
Black
Diamond
Classic.
Returning them to the video store, be kind, please rewind.
You had to go to something called a video store. Blockbuster.
Yeah,
Blockbuster.
I'm shopping myself.
Blockbuster, rest in peace.
That was hot.
There's still one left, isn't there?
There's like
one left.
There's like five.
The Zootopia animated storybook.
Hey, there you are.
That's me and Tokola, yeah, Perpocalypse. So I'll just take a couple minutes to talk about what it means to me personally, and Anthony can join if he wants. So I first saw it in June 2016, and I just fell in love with it from the beginning. It was funny, like the next morning, I think I had like a version of post-con depression before I knew what that was, because like I wanted that world to be real so much.
I didn't want it to end. I think I saw it a week or two later again, and then it's like, it's going to come out in video in June. Oh my God!
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to get it.
Time span for coming out to video.
I know.
Unlike in the olden days where you had to wait almost a year.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But Robin Hood, like, of course it was released before home video, but it was the first move. First of the big Disney classics to come out on video.
It was just some of the art I've done inspired by Zootopia. That was Finnick I did recently. And then that's just some of the art I've done. Because like one of the things Zootopia, you know, did for me was it like reignited my love of art and drawing. Like I used to draw all the time as a kid. And I
that looks like Miko. Miko from Pocahontas.
It is, yeah.
That is Miko, yeah.
So yeah, I'll always be grateful to Zootopia for that.
So
this was just like Zootopia kind of, it also got me really interested in animation.
Andy.
Like I've always loved animated movies. I grew up with Lion King and 101 Dalmatians. But those were some of the movies.
Tattoo.
Oh yeah, so I finally took the plunge last year. I got my first tat. I don't know if you can see it there. Got Nick Wilde.
He even came with fox hair. He's got red hair, you know.
There you go. I won't go through all these. Those are just some of my favorite quotes from the movie. But I like Mr. Big. What are you, a performer? This was the costume. And then Doug was the opposite of friendly. He was unfriendly. And my favorite one was Nick when they're leaving the Jumbo's Cafe. And he's like, well, that is high praise. It's rare that I meet someone so not patronizing. Just dripping with sarcasm. That was great. And then I collected a bunch of my favorite moments from the movie. They're not all funny. Some of them are the sad ones. But yeah, when Judy has to resign.
Now, she says she's not a quitter, but she winds up quitting, and that's against her total system and everything.
But she feels like it's the right thing to do at that point.
And I was actually telling people that, in a way, there was a Beatles song that told that part of the story. And so I quit the police department and found myself a steady job. She went back to the farm, right?
She did.
They were talking back in the 60s. They were talking about Zootopia then. The Beatles were, you know.
And then when
what's the other one was Police Chief Bogos Lionheart's Club Band. There's a whole bunch.
And then, you know, when Judy sees Gideon Gray again, and he kind of makes amends, and she admits that, you know, she's been a jerk too, and I thought that was a nice,
that was nice
moment there.
You don't say it, right?
This, I thought, was like the most powerful moment in the movie, when Judy sees, like, the tiger sit down the train, and then this bunny, like, you know, pull her child closer, and she just kind of sees, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's the unintended consequences.
It's our real life, we see the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was really powerful. And just that moment when Judy's correcting Bogo, and he's just giving her this stare back, just not having it.
He's like an old Schwarzenegger.
Now when the elephant is spraying the peanuts, like, bit.
John DiMaggio.
Flash's laugh. I should time it. It's got to be like 20 seconds long or something.
Or there's a YouTube video where Raymond Percy is talking and he's saying what he did was spaces between the... Okay. Words. That's how he did it. That's how he did the voice.
And then I love Finnick. We need more Finnick. If there's
I'm sure there will be.
Well, I mean, he was the one who sent in their sequel, so he's going to be playing another part.
We need to acknowledge the elephant in the room. Francine, happy birthday. Love that part. And then just Nick's expression there.
And again, this is all from The Godfather, you know. It's the day of my daughter's wedding. I got to grant your wishes.
I love the way Nick's ears move.
Yes. And then when the polar bears are taking the bath, you see the polar bear looking at his phone and chuckling at the chokehold photo. And then when Judy's trying to point out the donut. There you went, you little dickens.
And when I went, I know I've told this before, I went to the Pittsburgh Zoo, and keep in mind, he's a cheetah. They had a sign saying, cheetahs depend upon gazelle for their nutrition. So he really liked gazelle.
That's so funny.
That's an actual sign at the Pittsburgh Zoo. I went there after Anthem. True story.
Number six, when they're panning around the Mystic Spring Oasis and it just shows the giraffe immediately swatting down the
floor. Oh, yeah.
Number five, and Judy accidentally...
She's never let me get this
touching
question.
The wool, and Judy slaps him away, and she accidentally slaps the wool. Number four at Fru Fru's wedding, and then it pulls back, and you just see all the polar bears standing guard.
Getting back to The Godfather, honest to God, the family in that movie is known as the Corleone. You know what that's Italian for? Lionheart.
No way.
Corleone means Lionheart. Isn't that a weird coincidence? Corleone. I don't speak Italian fluently, I just happen to know that.
I love when Clawhauser catches Bogo on the gazelle app. And he's just like, not now. No.
Is that app on Google Play? No, I'm sure something might be. Yeah.
Really sweet moment when Nick forgives Judy. I wonder if Finnick had called him ahead of time and like he knew that Judy was on her way, so he was just kind of like, you know, busting her chops for a while. That one at the end. The salute. Just look how happy he is. Yeah. Like he's finally like the fox he always wanted to be. I thought this was a nice quote to sum up the movie. Zootopia is a film about recognizing that our world is complicated and that life is complicated for all of us. And the film also says the challenges we face each day are made bearable by leaning on one another and learning together. So I thought that was a nice... So I want to open up to discussion. I just collected a few things, and these things come from, you know, repeated viewings, watching the movie a million times. But just little things I've wondered about and noticed. Like, for example, you know, Judy's first day, Bogo says there's 14 mammals missing, so then presumably 14 mammals have been darted and gone savage. But we don't hear about animals or mammals going savage until Mr. Big tells them. So... But if, you know, the 14 mammals have already been darted and gone savage, like, wouldn't there have been some witnesses? Like, wouldn't... And I mean, I know that...
the bears do a cover-up.
Yeah, but, you know, that would have been a pretty... Like, to be on top of it that quickly, I don't know. It's just something to think about. And then And if anyone wants to jump in here and share their, you know, thoughts or theories or whatever, feel free.
I was going to say earlier, Bob was mentioning there's no humans, and there's also no primates in Zootopia at all.
That's true.
Yeah, and there's been talk about no domestic animals, like domestic dogs, domestic cats. But there are felines, there are canine types, like wolves and things like that.
But if there's no humans, where did the songs on Judy's radio come from? Are there like
there's spoofs of
I meant like
groups and
Sing has
the fur fighters and things
many
like
more
that.
Species that Zootopia did, and primates are one of them, I
believe.
And I mean, I get the reason why, but at the same time, it's the whole bunch of animals are now exempt from being in the world.
And a disastrous consequence. That would have been bad. Plus,
it
that
been.
Freight train looked really cool. I'm glad that nothing happened to the freight train.
Yeah.
Even if the subway car ended up destroyed along with the evidence.
Right.
The important thing was that the freight train was okay with the rhino horn on the front of the locomotive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting
little
fact.
Now I need to see an HO scale model of that Zootopia locomotive.
Yeah. One thing I've thought, like, wouldn't you love to hear Nick and Finnick's conversation after they say goodbye to Judy, probably just, like, cracking up about how they hustled her and how gullible she was. I think that would be fun. And then, like, if Judy's parents know about the effects of night howlers, like, wouldn't it already be common knowledge? Like, wouldn't somebody, like, be able to say, oh, hey, they must have, like, eaten night howlers or something when the mammals start going savage?
It seems like it would be a disconnect because they're in the rural area that's, like, not exactly too communicative with the city.
Yeah.
So only the farmers and, you know, the small town people might know of it, and people in the city who
might
never go to the farm
wouldn't No, that's a good call.
If they're farmers and being self-sufficient, they probably just don't care about telling anybody else.
There are some predators who do live in Bunnyboro, including Getty and Gray. It's not all bunnies in there, but, you know. So you do have that, but of course they're kind of tame and everything.
Right.
Now, we can mention there's a couple of interesting groups on, like, Twitter and Telegram and all that.
Yeah, Anthra Crew and I are both in a furry meetup group on the up on the North Shore, so please feel free to, you know, join. We always love to see new faces. We're mostly on Telegram. We do have a Twitter as well. But yeah, I just want to throw that out there.
We do have time for questions.
Yeah,
but before we do, real quick,
comment,
I wanted to mention, I got this from Soggy Otter, who is one of the big wigs at Tripocalypse. This is Mr. Otterman. Okay. I got these on Amazon.com. These are like little mini storybooks for kids or people of all ages. And then you have this. I also have the art. We both have the art of Zootopia, which is great too. I could not possibly bring everything, but there's so much stuff out there. So quickly, before, I don't know if the other panel is coming or not, but do you have any ideas what should be in the sequel? Should it avoid Nick and Judy, or should it embrace them? Should we go and meet some different characters for a change?
And what would you like to see in a sequel?
What would you like to see in the sequel? Go ahead.
Like, well, one thing I'm curious. Well, like, one thing that I might be interested in is, like, maybe, like, other types of species besides mammals, because I'm curious how many, like, when the, like, maybe the teaser trailer came out, like, how many people with, like, scale sonas or whatever were probably excited only realized, oh, it's just mammals.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to explore in terms of species, for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe like a sporting competition between the animals.
Oh, that would be cool.
And that could be one that might be one thing that we put in the sequel.
I'd like to see that.
I've wondered about little rodentia. Shouldn't they have their own little police force there or whatever? And animals of a certain size technically can't get in, but we had the chase, which originally was going to be Nick being chased by Judy or whatever,
but
it wound up being Duke, and so you had the two of them and disastrous consequences and things like that, creating a scurry and all that. But what goes on? And in an early edition, what was it? It was going to be Nick and Clawhauser. We're going to have the Chachis with Fennec. They're going to have their own business.
Right.
You know, so there's all sorts of things you could explore there. But this is just one continent or one big city.
Yeah.
What's happening in the rest of the world, like we mentioned?
Yeah.
What other types of animals are there?
And I would like to see, like, some of Nick's backstory. Like, we get a little glimpse, you know, we see that tragic scene of him with the
His father
Rangers,
dead? Is his father separated from his mother?
How did he and Finnick meet?
Yeah.
And how long have they been?
Yeah. Well, he was kind of adopted in a way by Mr. Big, and it was almost like in The Godfather, you had a character, Tom Hagen, who was kind of adopted by the Corleone family. Same thing, and he grew up with them, and then he wound up disappointing them this way, you
right.
know?
Right.
And he got recaptured, and he almost wound up getting iced.
Yeah, yeah.
Said, oh, we let you in. We do all that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, back there.
So the main theme of Zootopia is how discrimination divide the
yep.
culture, and we're seeing a lot of that in our own country as of
yeah.
present mm-hmm. times. What can we as furries do to help combat that?
Great question.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people, if they don't know about a certain group, they'll go, oh, furries, they're all these geeks, and they're into all these perversions and things like that. Oh, yeah, well, you know, we raise money for charity, we have a great time, we've got wonderful artists and writers and everything. Oh, really? And maybe you ought to go to one of our conventions and think, wow, this is great, I think I'm a furry myself, I just never realized it. People who don't know about it, maybe they ought to learn. They ought to, like, meet someone and get talking to them. You know?
And like in a broader sense, just trying to make the world a little better. Like
yeah.
I don't know, just personally, like I just try to like I don't know. If I can just be kind to somebody, just
yeah.
do a little bit of kindness, because it's so easy to like turn on the news and just feel powerless and helpless, and you have to just kind of step back and say, like, I can't fix any of that, but I can be kind to someone today, I can be nice to people in my own life, I can do one little thing to, you know, I can donate a few dollars to a cause I care about, I can volunteer, you know. I think it's tough, you know, because you want to fix the world, and you can't, but you can do little things to try to make it better, so.
Well, in that note, I'm volunteering for Rock the Vote to
yes.
try and register as many
yep.
voters as I can, and especially at conventions and people that go to universities. After you
yep.
leave from this con, it's not everybody just lives in Boston. Everybody's going back to their hometown
yep.
or to their school or to their friend group. And if anybody wants to volunteer to register voters, change starts with you.
That's one thing I was going to mention to kind of close on, because I think we might have a different panel coming here. During the movie, certain characters will change and maybe learn and everything. We saw the way Gideon was at the start. He actually turned out pretty good. He found a talent. And he apologized for his behavior and everything. And look at Nick. He went from being a criminal to being a cop. And then there's characters who learned about other, you know, animals and said, you know, I didn't realize about... You know, they grow as they learn about different other animals.
Yeah.
You know, so there's hope
yeah.
in this movie.
People
That's the whole thing.
Themselves.
People can redeem themselves. That's the whole thing about Gideon Gray and everything. Yeah.
Did anyone else want to say anything? I don't know if there's
yeah, because, like I say, I think we're about to be kicked out.
No, I think you're good.
No problem.
11:30.
Oh, do we have a... Well, because it looks like in the back they're kind of like poking in there.
But
they may need time to set up.
Yeah.
I thought it was 11.
Talk to this guy if anyone's interested in
voter
registration.
Okay.
Talk to him.
Yeah, we got to give them time to set up, but okay.
Can I get a picture of you with your badge? Because I will never remember your name.
Sure.
Okay.
Just hold it up.
Yeah.
You got to reset.
I recorded it in audio, and I can send you the whole slideshow.
Thanks.
Eventually.
No problem. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Is that a question for me?
Is this the Air or the Pro?
He talks about
that's the Air. That's the
his or?
Yeah.